Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Barth Calderon. We are an estate and asset protection planning firm. Really excited to have our founder and senior managing partner, Harry Barth, with us here today. Harry, can you hear me okay there?
Yeah, I can, Paul.
Great. Thank you. So we are jumping right into an issue. And for those of you who have listened to us before, you know we do a ton of talks all over the country to groups like Vistage, the Women Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association. A lot of business owners we're talking to. Harry is our top speaker, and an issue that comes up a lot is something that people have heard about, the corporate veil, and don't pierce the corporate veil. But I don't think a lot of people really understand what that is. So Harry, can you jump in and tell us what is that issue all about?
Sure. First, let's correct a couple of misnomers that we hear about that. It's not necessarily a corporate veil. It could be the liability veil of a limited liability company. It could be the liability veil of a corporation. It could be the liability veil of a limited partnership. So it's any organization that we put together to protect our personal assets from business and or, let's say, real estate claims. So give an example. If we have a business that's worth $400,000, that should be, and that business is sued, whether it be a corporation or an LLC, that should be the end value of that into a person's home, bank account, retirement plans, and other assets should not be impacted. Now, there are theories which are called piercing the, we'll just call it the veil of limited liability protection, or piercing the alter ego liability. It's not enough, Paul, just to put together an entity. It starts that way, but I think it's very important that we operate the entity as a separate business away from our personal assets. So what we see many times is people will have formed an entity for their business operations or their real estate operations, and then they'll be using revenues from those operations to pay personal expenses, to pay doctor bills and grocery bills and shopping bills and unrelated credit card bills. You can't do that. So we see that. And piercing the veil of limited liability is not a singular test. It's based upon the facts and circumstances. So in corporations, for example, there are requirements that board of directors meetings be held, shareholder meetings be held, that corporate activities be written as minutes are mandated by the state, and people don't do that. We'll see people that'll put their spouses on the payroll, even though spouses really don't work there for the purpose of enhancing a retirement plan, a payout. We'll see people putting children on payroll that really don't work there, or having spouses or children owning company cars when they really don't work there, booking their Uncle Benny on the health insurance. We'll also see scenarios where people will lend money to their entities. There'll be no promissory notes associated, no payments made, no security interest, or entities lend money to them under the same circumstances. So, and then happens, God forbid, they get in trouble, lawsuit comes against the entity, and they now become very concerned as to whether or not the legal system will allow them to pierce through that veil of limited liability protection. And if you're able to pierce that veil, what will open up will be their home and all of their other assets that they own. So all of a sudden, people will come and ask their counsel, this should stop at the value of my entity, correct? And usually the response that we'll give is something which is a little unsettling. It said, it depends.
Right.
It depends on the conduct and the way in which you have run that entity and not commingled. We can't treat an entity as our personal checkbook. It really doesn't work out effectively, and expect to have that entity respected by the legal system. So I think that's a really big admonishment. And one of the things that we have at our firm is a general counsel program, which will allow us to take a look at all of the things that you're doing to make sure that you never particularly have that problem.
Yeah, because most people think nothing ever bad is going to happen to me. So they have these structures they put in place, but you're saying that if they're doing something wrong, you know, they might not be there to help them out. But so what actually happens when somebody does get sued? How do they even find mistakes? Is there just an attack and they get to look at everything?
Yeah, well, what will happen is that in the course of the lawsuit, you know, it's a cause of action. They're looking for alter ego liability. So if the entity itself doesn't have adequate assets to pay the claim, to pay the plaintiff, then they need to look at whether or not the excess can be paid by the individual. In order to do that, they need to pierce the veil. So then it'll be a separate, you know, hearing, separate set of discovery to determine whether or not they have run that business properly over the period of time to make sure that the entity that they've paid and set up is providing the protection that they ultimately need. So it's a combination of two things: having an appropriate property entity, making sure that the entity is in good standing, and making sure our conduct within that entity respects its independence from the rest of our assets.
Great information. The takeaway for me, as I hear you, is the two-pronged approach is, first of all, make sure you set things up properly, but then you also got to maintain them properly, and
yes,
you can go south on either one.
Yes, sir.
Great. Harry, great information. Thanks so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Appreciate it. Harry, until next time.
Thank you, Paul.
All right.